It's the interview with Melissa and David.
On the phone with us, we have, she's a living legend, man. Yes. I love this lady. It's Miss Jeannie Seely on the phone with us. Woo! How are you doing?
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, no, I think she's had some coffee.
A little bit, man. I love it. So how are you doing this morning, Miss Jeannie?
I'm doing great, thank you. It's just getting busy, getting my yard all together.
Yes.
All those things that we started paying more attention to during the pandemic.
Absolutely. Now, I saw, like, I kind of follow you on Instagram and stuff, and I saw whenever the waters were coming up, it got kind of close to your house and stuff. Are you guys, all that going down finally?
Yeah, it is. We had a couple of nights there that kind of made me a little nervous, but they were monitoring the dams really well this spring, and everything was fine. Yeah, I found this little cottage years ago right on the bank of the Cumberland. Mm-hmm. I'm on 100-foot of river frontage.
Wow.
And I'm less than, I'm probably about 10 to 12 minutes away from the Grand Ole Opry, which is, I don't ever like being farther away from the
Opry
than that.
Exactly.
Well, you've been a member of the Grand Ole Opry over 50 years now, right? That's a second home for you.
Yeah, it absolutely is a second home.
One of the, and I don't mean to interject anything negative here. I really don't.
Uh-oh.
But no, 54 years coming up as a member of the Grand Ole Opry. And you're yet to be installed in the Country Music Hall of Fame. And that's a travesty.
Mm-hmm.
That is an absolute travesty. So we gotta work on that.
Well, yes, we do. The main thing is, I mean, there's a lot involved and people are really busy. And the main thing is you have to keep reminding everybody you're still here and what you've done. I think one of the things we're trying to do is make sure they realize all the things that I've worked on that have been so important to me that are behind the scenes in our business. You know, things don't just happen, as you know. You have to work on things. Mm-hmm. And I've always believed in doing that. There is a business part to the music business.
Now, and you've done, and you've gotten to sing with a lot of people. I mean, everybody from Ernest Tubb to Lori Morgan and all in between. Do you have a favorite? I'm just going to say a favorite Opry memory.
Well, I was going to say, I hope you're not asking me to choose my favorite duet partner. I got to live, work, and play with these people.
Yeah, Jack Green wasn't bad.
It was a bad at all.
No, in fact, it is really hard to pick a favorite memory. Even, of course, the night that I made my debut at the Opry, and when every emotion that the human body can go through goes through you, from being thrilled and scared and intimidated and proud and just everything. And then when I was inducted in and accepted into that wonderful family, I like to make sure people realize it's not just performing on that stage as an artist that's so important to me, but being a member as a person in that wonderful family is so special.
Absolutely.
If you're just now joining us, we are lucky, blessed, honored, all of the above to have Jeannie Seely with us on the phone this morning. Now, Jeannie, you came to Nashville. People talk about the concept of marrying the perfect voice with the perfect song. And you did Don't Touch Me. You got a Hank Cochran song at that time, which was probably not an easy feat. And it became your signature song. You won the Grammy for Best Female Country Vocal Performance for that song. How did you and that song get together? Because it is such an incredible song.
Well, actually, Hank had taken me to Fred Foster at Monument to try to get a record deal. And Fred had said, in fact, you will maybe get a kick out of this. He took me over to Fred's office one evening about 5 o'clock. A little after everybody was leaving the office, and he handed me a guitar, and I sat down on the floor. He said, "Now sing till Fred signs you." And I've always laughed, and I said, "I wonder if Fred Foster heard something in my voice, or whether he just wanted to go to dinner at least." Just anything. Whatever. Let's get sign the here. Girl and get them out of my office.
That's hilarious. I love that.
Whatever. So anyway, we started. He said, "Find me the right song. Find us the right song, and we'll go in the studio and record." So Hank and I started looking for songs, and I mean, you go through so many looking for, as you say, that perfect marriage. Mm-hmm. I was, by that time, on the road with Porter. We were in Rochester, New York. Hank was in somewhere in Indiana with a bunch of songwriter guys, and he had this idea, and he actually had the first verse, and he called me and sang it to me. He said, "What do you think?" And I said, "You had me at the first line." That first line just has always knocked me out. So at that time, you know, you could go to the airport and jump on a plane whenever you wanted to. Mm-hmm. So he flew to Rochester, New York, and actually finished the song in my dressing room at the auditorium there. Wow. And the next morning he called me and said, "I think I wrote a smash last night. Tell me you remember it." I said, "Oh, yeah, I remember it." Truthfully, by the time we got to the bridge, Hank was just about too drunk to hold the guitar, let alone play it. So,
the song I
took the guitar, and I was like, "Is this what you're hearing? Is this what you're trying to tell me?" And so that's how I landed that song.
So Hank wrote that
song.
But
anyway, several people wanted it, and Hank said no. In fact, Buck Owens wanted it, and he was so hot at the time. And Hank said, "No, I'm giving it to Jeannie Seely." And Buck said, "Who's Jeannie Seely?" And he said, "Well, you'll find out after the song comes out."
So, that's so awesome.
Yeah, but I never take for granted how fortunate I was to get that song, because it is a classic. And it has stood the test of time. I mean, you still walk in a country nightclub or whatever and somebody's singing "Don't Touch Me." It can be done by male or female. So, and it appeals to everyone.
I'm still floored. I had the song just looping in my office yesterday afternoon for a while. And my wife heard it from the other room. She came and said, "I forgot what a wonderful song that is." And it is. It's almost the perfect song. It really is.
Well, it sure was a wonderful piece of material for me, and it was exactly what I was looking for at the time. I wanted to be able to I think the market, let me go back to it. I talk about this is a music, this is a business. The market needs to be right, too. There was nothing being played at that time like that song, like that record, and the one vibe chord that Fred did to start it, you know. And my arrangement was so different from anything that had been done. You know, I'm not a musician, I'm a songwriter and an entertainer, but I don't know what I'm doing when I'm writing something or doing an arrangement like I did on that. I don't know if it's right or wrong. Musicians sometimes just shake their head and look at me like, "Well, you know, that's not really a normal progression." Yeah, well, I can't help that. It's what I heard, you know.
Now, speaking of amazing songs and stuff, your song, if you could call it that, could you tell us a little bit about that song? And there's a story behind it, from what I understand, right?
Oh, this song is so special to me. Ron Harmon, who I call him my adopted little brother, because he is just absolutely family to me. Mm-hmm. And he had some of Dottie West's memorabilia. Mm-hmm. And he found this journal where she had started this song way back in the 60s. Right. And and he took it to Bobby Tomberlin to finish writing, and Bobby called in Steve Warner because Steve had worked with Dottie and practically lived at Dottie's house when they were off of the road. So I truly believe that they finished this song the way Dottie would have had she still been with us. And I was so glad they brought it to me to record in that journal too, on the inside cover. of the, she had written Jeannie Seeley, 824-7011, which was my old telephone number at that time. And so we all felt like that was yet another sign that that song was supposed to come to me.
It was fate. It,
the song is just a great song. And I have to tell you, I'm hearing from fans all over the world who are saying, this song just resonates with me. One lady said, I lost my husband recently, and this is exactly how I'm. I just go on living, if you can call it that. I hear that over and over. It's reaching so many people.
Now I have to throw this question in there because I told David, like, I listened to your show on Sirius XM on Willie's channel.
Oh, thank you.
And I enjoy it. And we were going on vacation. I have to throw this because my mom said you have to ask her this. We were going on vacation, going to visit my my sister in Florida, and so I was listening to it, and it was National Weed Day, and you played a song. Called Who Needs You. I have to ask you, did you write that song?
I did.
Oh,
I wrote that song back in, oh my goodness, it had to be 80, 81,
right,
somewhere in there. I wrote that song, and I just sang it at parties, you know. It was just something I wrote for fun. Then I was in a mood one time at the coffee, so I told the guys, I said, let's just sing it and see what happens, you know. Well, I can tell you how little attention anybody was paying to me back in the 80s. Nobody ever said a word. They didn't even notice it, I guess.
It has become
it's
one
a
of
classic.
Yeah,
it's become one of mine and my mother's favorite songs, so thank you for that.
Yeah, people have no idea. Jeannie Seeley, the party animal.
Oh, man. I love the disclaimer there, too, so I had to. I told her, I said, I'm going to ask her, so there you go. That's for you, Mom.
Yes. Well, and when I started doing it and decided to record it, Charlie Daniels asked me to be on his volunteer jam.
Uh-huh.
And as I tell my audience a lot, I said, you know, I was so thrilled. I thought, what am I going to sing? Because he has such cross-genre audience at his jams and all ages there. And I said, I don't want to walk out there like some sweet little old lady. Because I'm not sweet.
Oh, man, I love it.
I don't believe
so
that.
So I thought, I'm gonna roll the dice. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to do Who Needs You. Well, it absolutely brought the house down. And it would knock me out. All these young girls out there just waved, standing up and waving back. And when I introduce it on stage, I always say we usually do this for all the ladies in the audience, because I feel like you have felt this way at least one time about at least one man in your life. It's called Who Needs You.
I love it.
I think it also proves, too, that even though Nashville may have changed a whole lot, there are some things about Nashville that has never changed.
Absolutely.
Well, there are some of us who are trying to make sure that that the traditional country is still remembered.
Yes.
And, you know, is relevant. And I think you have to present it in a way. So I'm not putting down anything new. I can't sing most of these new melodies. You know, you turn off the radio, it's a hit record, but 5 minutes later, I can't sing the melody.
Yep.
Absolutely.
You know, the Great Speckled Bird, you never forgot that melody.
Or, exactly. Or Don't
so
Touch
I
Me.
Think, yeah, I think that that's just it's a different style, it's a different trend, and as I have to remind myself and some of my peers, it's just simply not our era anymore. Mm-hmm. Things change, and they're supposed to. And I changed things when I came, and everybody's going to after me. The main thing is you have to keep reinventing, and you have to keep up with what's current, or the Opry won't be here in another 5 years. We've just got to do that.
That in itself, looking at your body of work, you were not a flash in the pan. You were not a one-hit wonder. Mm-hmm. You've been an integral, very relevant part of the country music industry since you first came into being with like Don't Touch Me in 1966, which is even further proof that you belong in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Without question, and it's time.
Well, you tell them, okay.
Oh, well, we will.
We're on it, Miss Cindy.
Okay, great. I didn't know if you were aware of a song I wrote in 1964 called Anyone Who Knows What Love Is. Are you aware of that song?
I think so. It's ringing
a bell. And how it is showing up. It's showing up everywhere. It's in the 5 episodes of that TV series out of London called Black Mirror.
Oh, really?
And all these artists have recorded it. I wasn't even aware. Seal even recorded it in a new album.
I am so excited.
Yeah, I wrote it back in 1964 when I was living in L.A. And actually, R&B artist Irma Thomas had a hit on it.
Louisiana
Girl. Nobody thought of this song in forever till it showed up in that TV series.
That's
so
interesting. Don't you think
you got to check that one out?
Don't you think it's interesting though how everything comes full circle? You know, it always comes back to the familiar stuff and the good stuff.
Well, yeah, and I think this just proves, you know, you write a song, you don't know who it's going to appeal to or where it's going to show up. I say this all the time to young singers and writers. Just don't ever get discouraged on it because it's out of your hands now. You wrote it from your heart. It's out of your hands. And you never know how, where it's going to show up or how, what the life of the song is going to be. So if it doesn't happen today or tomorrow, don't worry about it. You created it and somebody will find it.
Well, I know we're running short on time, and I just wanted to say thank you for taking the time to call us and talk to us about everything. This has been a fun one.
Yes, bestowing the honor on us. Thank you so much, Jeannie Seeley.
Well, I appreciate you, and thank you for the plays on this single.
Absolutely.
I am so very proud of this song, and it's just such a privilege to feel like I have finished something for my friend Dottie West.
Absolutely. Can folks go to your website maybe to purchase the song or maybe to see you on the road?
They can get it. Yeah, if they do digital, wherever you get digital music, if you do that, it's on everywhere. And also, if you like the physical copy, you can go to my website, jeannieseeley.com. And by the way, I personally autograph everything that goes out of my office.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something I believe in. So, and they might find something else on there that they they might like to. But everything is on JeannieSeeley.com. And thank you for listening to me at the Roadhouse. I appreciate that so much.
It's a great program, but you threw me off with that. Who needs you? I didn't expect it now.
We got to party with Jeannie sometime when we go to Nashville and party with her.
Do.
Yes,
definitely
you do.
Do.
Yes, absolutely you do. Well, please stay in touch and come see us, okay?
Yes, ma'am. You take care, okay?
Uh-huh. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Please follow me now.
The Melissa and David Show.